Given the challenge, most of us could identify a handful of evangelists who've stormed through history and helped usher men and women into the kingdom of God. Celebrated teachers like D.L. Moody and Billy Graham. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that evangelism is not limited to those who fill arenas with receptive audiences. Now, when Jesus declared His Great Commission, He had all of us in mind. You're about to hear a selection from Chuck's popular series called Mission Possible. He titled today's message, Our Commitment to Christ's Commission.
The last five verses of Matthew 28 will be the scripture we will be looking at in a few moments. You have your own Bible and you can read, and therefore I'd like you to lay this passage in your lap here as the offering is taken in a few moments. And once you've participated in that, just take the time to read through 16 through 20 of Matthew 28. Join me in a few moments of prayer, please. Thank you for all you mean to us, our Father, and that this meaningful relationship is not limited to these United States by any means. Matter of fact, far more in the third world are coming to Christ than in our own country. There is an enormous growing interest in what your word says in lands that have never heard it before. Thank you for the reminder today. Thank you for the model of these two fine people and Mark's leadership and those serving in direct ways. Thank you, Father, for giving us words of hope for those who've lost it. For the one true God, for those trying to please over a million. For the pleasure of your company in our relationship, for the truth in our language, for a church that loves you and proclaims you and cultivates a family relationship that centers on you. As you are our hope and as you are the object of our affection and the subject of our praise, be our vision. Be my vision as your plan unfolds in this year. We give because you are all you are and mean all of that to us. In the name of Jesus, our vision, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Our Commitment to Christ's Commission.
Jesus had not won all the people on the earth to himself when he left the earth. As a matter of fact, contrary to popular opinion, not even most had heard of him in the whole world on planet Earth. There's an old legend that surrounds the whole concept of Jesus' departure from this earth and re-entry into heaven. Fanciful though it is, it does represent a truth we don't want to miss. The legend has it that he returned to heaven with the marks and scars and bruises of the crucifixion still on him. Gabriel, the messenger angel, asked him, "Was it as bad as it seems it was, Lord?" Jesus' response was, "It was awful. What I suffered most can never even imagine. When I died, I went through what I'd never known before, and that's the Father turning from me as I bore the sins of the world." "Well then," asked Gabriel, "do most people now know how much you love them and what your death means and how you were willing to forgive them if they will only believe in you?" No, most still don't know." "Then who knows?" "Well, there's Peter and James and John and 8 other faithful disciples and a handful of women and men who have become followers of mine in Galilee and Judea. Outside that, not many." And for the first time in 33 earthly years, the legend has it, he sat down at the right hand of the Father in the throne room. Gabriel is troubled. He says, "If I may, do you have a plan for reaching those who've never heard?" "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've mentored and built into the life of my disciples and they with others, and those who know me will now take the message and will make it known to those they know and meet. And then when those people hear and believe, they in turn will share with others. And that way the message will spread. But Lord, Master, what if they grow weary? What if through the centuries they lose the passion of Peter and James and John and your followers? What if by the 21st century they have gotten distracted? Do you have another plan?" "No, there is no other plan." Imaginary though the legend is, the truth is there is no other plan. One person telling another is still the best plan. You're telling someone you know or have met of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the plan. Dwight L. Moody, a number of years ago, was delighted with the result of some evangelistic work he had been involved in. And on one occasion, he was sharing with a group of people how he had known the joy of just that past week leading someone to a knowledge of Christ. And the critic frowned and said to him, "Tell me, Mr. Moody, what is it about that makes you so excited? Actually, I don't believe in getting into people's private life. I don't agree with that. In fact, I don't practice that." "Well," said Moody, I also have some things about it that I wish I could do differently. But tell me before I get into that, what is your method for reaching them with the message?" "Oh, well, I don't have one." "Well then," said Moody rather tartly, "I think I like the way I do it better than the way you don't." Do you share the message? Do you know that that is the responsibility of every child of God? Do you know that you have been commissioned? Oh, I'm not talking about ministry in the formal sense or vocational Christian service. I know a very, very small segment of humanity falls into that category. Jesus did not commission us to become clergy. He did not commission us to carry our pastor with us wherever we went so that he might share the news. He commissioned you and me individually with the plan that has never been replaced with another method or message. It's one person telling another how to find bread, how to locate pure water that will satisfy forever. Tucked away at the very end of Matthew's gospel is what is commonly called the Great Commission. Oh, it's given other names, the missionary mandate, some have called it. Christians' marching orders, I've read that. More recently, the believer's major objective in every generation. All this, nothing more than words to describe the commission. What's a commission? Webster defines commission, a formal warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. Authorization or command to act in a particular manner or to perform prescribed acts. Authority to act for or in the place of another. A commission is a task entrusted to one as an agent for another. Or it is a group of persons who have been directed to perform some duty. That's pretty much the lengthy definition we can find in today's dictionary. It's his commission to his people. I've looked it over again. I have done that for years, and I found some fresh thoughts that are all very simple. We'll put the cookies on the low shelf so that no one can miss them. I find three or four observations about these final five verses that, to me, live on. They're timeless, just as they are true. The first observation I notice is that Jesus talked to very ordinary people who knew him personally. We read in verse 16, they are called the 11 disciples. That tells you that one is missing. The one missing was the brightest of the group, the only Judean. The rest were what they called in those days ignorant, passionate Galileans. The bright one is the one who could count. He held the money bag. His name was Judas. But of course, he was the one who defected. So it isn't brightness that's needed, though there's nothing wrong with a high intellect. Nothing to be criticized about a great education. But he didn't speak these words to highly educated individuals. He spoke to his followers. The word disciple means learner. There wasn't a superstar celebrity among them. None of them would be what we would call clergy today. No spiritual studs. I know we have made these men into plaster saints. We have sculpted them in stone and given them the name saint. We have put halos over them in medieval architecture, or I should say artistic work. But none of the above is true. They're just common, ordinary, garden variety men and women like you and me, these followers of Jesus. These are people who knew him personally, just as you and I know him. Had we lived back then, hard as it may be to accept this, he could have chosen any one of us. Robert Coleman calls each of the disciples a rather ragged aggregation of souls. You wouldn't have hired any of them to be a part of your employment. They aren't impressive. They're just witnesses. They're just folks. The second thing I notice about this passage is that Jesus presented a game plan that's simple and clear. Oh, by the way, when they saw him, I appreciate the mixed response. Verse 17, they worshiped, but some of them were doubtful. Can you believe it? After 3.5 years, after a resurrection, after a long list of miracles, after remarkable changed lives that have happened around them, there are some at the very end standing on the mountain before his ascension saying, I'm not really sure about all this. I'm not really sure. In that way, you can identify. So can I. There are some days I'm not really sure either. There are some days that I confess to you with a little embarrassment, I entertain doubts. I have struggles. I'm not as sure as I preach. I may come across more confident than I really am. I have a message that's absolutely sure, but the messenger is faulty. Human. Clay feet. At times discouraged. So I understand worshiping and also doubting, but I love it that Jesus doesn't say, there's the door, get out. He says to them, come here, come here. I've got a plan that you can carry out. All authority has been given to me. Notice it wasn't in them. It isn't in you or me. We are not people of authority. We have a message that is authoritative. We have a Savior who is the authority. We, clay pots, broken vessels, simple channels, through whom the message is to flow. Remember, the plan is a very simple one. There won't be some heavenly breakthrough where 10 million angels suddenly blow trumpets and announce to the universe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's not the plan. There's no magic kit that Jesus hands out saying, do that, impress people. There's no powerful wand to wave over a group. There's one life touching another life, winning that soul for Christ, who in turn touches others, who in turn touches others. And you're a part of the relay, and the gospel is the baton. You were given the baton when you were led to Christ. So was I. And it's so simple what the plan is. What is that? Verse 19, go make disciples, baptizing and teaching them. Oh, I know there are some ellipses in there, but the heart of it is a main verb, make disciples. The main verb isn't to go. The main verb isn't to baptize. And the main verb isn't even to teach. It's make disciples. In other words, duplicate what you are. You're a disciple. Talk to other people about becoming disciples. Lead them to a knowledge of me and encourage them to grow, which will involve going and baptizing and teaching. These words weren't given to a church body. These words were given to a group of individuals who were still doubting, but also worshiping. It's a simple game plan. I don't know if you like table games, but every once in a while, many of us will play a table game. And if we've never played the game before, usually it comes in a box. You take the top of the box off, and the first thing you see is what? Instructions for the game. And you'll notice mentioned, if not first, soon mentioned, is the objective of the game. This is how you win. If you're the competitive type, you say, ooh, get to that first. I want to win this thing. But if you don't know how to win, if you don't know the objective, it's just a lot of mishmash on the table. Doesn't make sense. Jesus didn't throw a whole box of things on the table saying, well, take your pick. Let's see how well you do. He said, make disciples. It'll require going. It'll require their becoming my followers, being baptized, and it'll involve their growing up, being taught. Do all the above. Pretty simple. Even I can understand it. And by the way, his scope is limitless. Maybe we read it earlier so quickly we missed how often the word all appears. All authority, verse 18. So there's no one who cannot be touched and reached. All authority is given to the Lord Jesus. And he wants us to go to all the nations, verse 19. And he wants us to observe all the things he has commanded, verse 20. And he is with us always. All authority, all the nations. All the things I've taught you, I'm always with you. That's enough fuel for a lifetime. Now, we may doubt, but he never does. The old country preacher said, I may tremble on a rock, but that rock never trembles under me. I go with the authority of the good news, and I share it in a way that is winsome and interesting and understandable and decoded. And a person hears it, and bouncing it against the authenticity of my life or your life, comes to terms with whether or not they're going to receive it. But there's nothing to receive if we don't give it. That's our calling. That's your calling. That's my calling. Interesting, when I was called into the ministry, the commission didn't change. And I'd had it since I'd come to know Christ. The commission was just underscored. I'm now to do it, well, I guess you would say today, professionally. Believe me, that isn't all it's cracked up to be. I've shared with people on occasion the good news of Christ, and invariably they want to know, what do you do for a living? Doggone it. Well, I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I do a little counseling. Sometimes I write a few lines. Yeah, but what do you do for a living? I'm a preacher. Oh! That's what I thought. You get paid to do this. When you do it, they don't close their ears. There's nothing to turn off. Why would a person in construction talk to someone else about Christ? Because his life has been changed. Why would a homemaker of 3 or 4 children rearing them busily in the home, why would she care enough about a neighbor because she cares about Christ? She's not doing it professionally. She's doing it as one who's been commissioned. It's a very simple game plan. You know, the third thing I observe, Jesus was intense about the mission, but he was relaxed about the method. Go therefore and make disciples. Never tells us how to do that. Doesn't tell us what format. Make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I'm with you all the way to the end. But he never gives us a method. It's because he's relaxed about the method. Methods change. They're full of variety. I made a list of some methods. One-on-one, friend with friend, friend with acquaintance, evangelistic dinners, revival meetings, home Bible studies, radio, television ministries, internet, podcasting. You didn't even know I knew how to say that. And here I am using it as one of the methods. I don't know what it means, but I know it's an effective method. And I know more and more across generational people are hearing the gospel through podcasting. How exciting is that? Whatever it means. There are prayer breakfasts put on by mayors and governors and presidents. There are Christian films and camps and conferences and retreats and seminars for men and women and couples and singles and divorcees. There are Christian sports outreach. There's musical concerts offered, arts and crafts, outreach ministries. There are neighborhood gatherings. There are table discussions with a friend you have over. There are private conversations at work over lunch, sometime in an evening. There are vacation times. There are special groups that gather, medical people, legal people, pilots, airline personnel, all of these special groups. It doesn't matter what the method is. It doesn't matter. And frankly, he doesn't care. If it's effective, it's getting the good news out. Across the street, across the states, and across the seas. That's our commission. We're committed to that. We exist as a church with that as the pulsing heartbeat of our existence. It's to make sure that as many as surround this area and as far as we can reach realistically will hear that Christ came and died and paid the complete penalty for the sins of the world and was miraculously and bodily raised from the dead and still lives to give his life, his eternal life, to those who will believe. You have no idea how many within driving distance have never heard that message one time in their life. You and I have heard it since we were in the crib. They've never heard it. That's the people who are on Christ's heart. Never doubt it. We teach with great passion the truths of the scriptures. We are committed to building up the saints for the work of ministry. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. The most thrilling thing we do is to lead another soul to Jesus. The most exciting thing about this ministry.
Listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll has titled today's message, Our Commitment to Christ's Commission. To learn more about this nonprofit ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. I hope that you sense Chuck's genuine enthusiasm for one-on-one, face-to-face evangelism. You could hear it in his voice. And even though Insight for Living Ministries has celebrated its 40th anniversary, we've not lost our first love and our passion for making disciples of all the nations, including our own. And that's the reason we're never reticent to invite your participation with us. God has called us to make disciples of all the nations, and when all of us together participate generously, we can truly make a difference. Dating back to our first broadcast in 1979, we've seen God's handprints all over this ministry. In fact, we're receiving feedback from our audience every day that affirms how God is working to change lives in places and in people we never thought possible. For instance, someone just left a message explaining how this program inspired him to keep fighting the good fight while serving as a lonely missionary in the slums of Nepal and India. Well, we'd love for you to join us in this worthy effort to reach more people with a touch of God's grace. To that end, we invite you to become a monthly companion. Through their consistent giving, monthly companions are helping countless listeners around the world who may not be in a position to give. And as Chuck says, through their generosity, monthly companions deliver a fragrance of God's grace to all those who hear this program. So to become a monthly companion, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll reminds us that our commitment to God's mission should supersede every other goal. That's Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Our Commitment to Christ's Commission, was copyrighted in 2006 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.